IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you're after joining us. You missed a very interesting hour, I think. We were in conversation with our Friday panel, Bree, John and Martin. We appreciate their contributions and some of the contribution coming in from our listeners. Why are third parties allowed to remove people from the register? Why is the register not treated the same as every other government-related application, which needs to go through MyGovID? What's Breed's view on women not being allowed to work years ago? This was discrimination, as men were allowed to work and women weren't. My wife now has no pension as a result of this. Is there a law that helps those who were deprived of pensions and work just because they were women? And I think that's Breed might be in agreement in a change to the Constitution off the back of your comment there. I believe that the turnout for the referendums will be embarrassingly low for the government. Public interest in the issue is negligible. I always vote in every event, whether election or referendum, but on this occasion, I just have no interest. But is it the government's referendums? Is that how they're being seen? Obviously, every party has a position on them. Sinn Féin amongst those calling for a yes, yes. It's our constitution. I think we all have to agree that at some time the constitution does have to be changed, whether we agree with it or not, but it's put to the people. I mean, Is a low turnout embarrassing for the government or us, if you know what I mean? I don't know. The courts are directed by the government, believes a listener. Another, you need to actually say what the Constitution says, not say stuff like a woman's place is in the home. You need to state the exact wording, not your own interpretation. I get you, and a lot of conversation is about the women in the home interpretation of that, which it has been an interpretation. I don't think it's right for Highland to promote the yes vote. I addressed that one before 10. Of course, we're not. It's up to the people. I would never try and influence people in any way, shape or form. HSE has reversed funding cutbacks for breast cancer survivors, bras, wigs, after it was aired on the 9 till noon show. And Joe Duffy, never underestimate the power of radio. Why ignore the facts? It's obvious to all and sundry that the Irish state is experiencing a serious crisis as a direct consequence of the government's disastrous immigration policies, believes the listener. Those radio shows with money competitions are encouraging gambling. Well, I know some of them you have to call in and it costs you €2 or €3 to enter. Others don't. So I presume you're talking about the ones that do a cash machine or whatever it's called. It's quite funny. There's a station down the country did a rip-off of that. It's not a rip-off of such, but I think it was called the Mash Machine. And you had to answer your phone to win a bag of potatoes. And it really worked really quite well for them, I'm told. People go to jail for not paying €160 for a TV license, yet no one will do jail for squandering and doing whatever they want with the taxpayers' money. Hi, Greg, I'm 52, and as far back as I remember, there's always been some kind of corruption, either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, when in government for your entire lifetime, they have either or have been. I'm not a fan of Ryan Tubridy, who says this listener, and never have been, but he's being hung out to dry. All of the old committee must resign, and they must be questioned. RTE needs to be overhauled, or it will have to go. They will lose support. I suppose they thought that if they could get... if they could get Ryan Tubridy to clear off or whatever it might be, that this would all go away. And then I suppose they thought that once some of the main players in decision-making situations left the stage, that it would go away. Then they thought they'd bring someone new and show absolute faith in others and it would go away. As it turns out, it ain't going away because the days of the public just sort of accepting what they're told and getting on with it are over. And politicians know that too, and that's why they have to keep on these issues. A caller says it's time RTE was scrapped. We have Virgin Media and Tina G, one scandal after another. Nobody will ever pay a TV licence again. Don't know why the government are taking so long to scrap the TV licence fee. Good morning, Greg. I'm a pensioner. I've paid my TV licence, but that's it. I'm never going to pay a TV licence again. Not until some of these people are dealt with by the law. Want to check this Dee Forbes woman to see she's hiding. She should do a video link to the Dáil Committee. Maybe she is genuinely very sick. That's what she's saying. I'm sure she is. If you know what I'm saying, I have to say that, of course. Shún Ní Rathaoirí was responsible for accepting the resignation of Dee Forbes at a time when the controversy arose. By accepting her resignation, she allowed Ms. Forbes to escape any questioning about the management at RTE. This is the biggest problem facing the Oireachtas inquiry. It was a sly move designed to thwart any investigation. That is not Shún Ní Rathaoirí's version of events. But if you do look at the timeline, I think it was a couple of days before the first committee. It was such a missed opportunity. I'd like to know who was the chair before Soon. I think that Shuni Rahilly landed in a quagmire that was hiding all kinds of wrongdoing when she took over as new chair. It would take her some time to unravel what was under the surface. We have a government, and I believe very little of what they say. There seemed to be an awful lot of faith in Ms. Nirahili, but a meeting she had with the media minister, two meetings this week, and where positions were clarified, which were not exactly as they are. You had the media minister then speaking publicly on Tuesday and then being questioned last night. It's very rare. You have to go way, way back. I think Charlie Haughey was the last to effectively sack someone, not in person, but in the media. So it's not a review of her performance and what she took. It seems to stem from between today and last Sunday. And on it goes. Listen, thank you so much for all of your comments. We've got some exciting guests for you coming up in studio, so stay tuned for that. And don't forget, you can watch the show on your smart TV on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or your Fire Stick as well. But we're going to take a break for the bingo numbers, and then we're going to come back with Dr. Dennis McCauley, who spoke to me a little earlier about this decision from the HSE to remove further services from St. Joseph's Hospital. And it's a powerful interview. Okay, so moving on in the programme now, and as we brought to you yesterday and revealed earlier in the week, primary care physiotherapy is being removed from St. Joseph's Hospital. They are looking to relocate it to alternative accommodation with immediate effect. Now, in the interim, services will be provided in Donegal Town Community Hospital and Lifford Community Hospital. This seemed to come as a surprise to an awful lot of people. They say it's to facilitate essential fire upgrade works off the back of a HICWA report. They also suggest that the services may not return to St. Joseph's as they're looking for suitable appropriate accommodation in the Finn Valley area. There's no time frame on that. Now, as you would know, a lot of people are quite upset about this revelation. Dr. Dennis McCauley is a GP and member of the GP subcommittee of the IMO, and he joins us on the programme tomorrow. I suppose, Dr. McCauley, your initial reaction to this news?
I must admit, Greg, it was one of those facts that almost make you fall off your chair. I could not believe it initially, and I had to research it fully. The first thing is we haven't been informed about this. But I think the whole decision just smacks of a rush decision, which is going to have significant impacts both to the Finn Valley, but also to the whole of Donegal generally. I think you have to realise that St. Joseph's Hospital has a number of patients. They have long stay patients. They have patients who come in for respite. But more importantly, Letterkenny uses St. Joseph's as a step-down hospital of people who've had an operation, who've had an acute illness, who come to Letterkenny for rehabilitation and rest. And an integral part of that is physiotherapy. So immediately, St. Joseph's now cannot give that facility to Letterkenny. And immediately that means that the people, there's going to be more backup in Letterkenny. So that alone just makes me feel absolutely astounded by this decision. If there's been a HICWA inspection, I think the next HICWA inspection will show that St. Joseph's cannot fulfil that very essential service, which is going to essentially gridlock the system once more in Letterkenny. And that is not even talking about the local services that we get from the physiotherapy as a GP.
So this will lead to further delayed discharges, one could imagine.
Oh, it has to. I would not be happy with a patient of mine who's had a hip replacement coming to St. Joseph's for rehabilitation now, because they will not get physiotherapy. So it is that situation that now St. Joseph's is an inappropriate hospital to transfer people from Letterkenny to now, because it doesn't have the services that you would expect. So that alone just makes this decision absolutely astounding. Now, I just want to also say that the service we get from St. Joseph's, which is one of the busiest physiotherapies in departments in the county. There's 100 referrals per week to physiotherapy. They had a long waiting list. They've been working really hard to get that waiting list down. They've been giving services to people with osteoarthritis, to osteoporosis, services that will now stop. So I think from the position of the local services, which to me is very important, but also the unthought of decision, consequence of the effect it's going to have on the Finn Valley and on Donegal generally, I'm astounded by this decision. And particularly when they will say that there isn't accommodation in St. Joseph's. Remember, St. Joseph's it's an old hospital, but it has a lot of refurbishment. Quite a lot of the hospital is now used for administrative offices. Why is that? They can be moved. Physio can be moved in there. There are wards that are being used by administrative services at the present minute. Why can they be moved to other places? There's lots of ways around this, but I think they haven't understood the consequence of this incredibly strange decision.
Do you think that there's some incompetence here in not understanding how things maybe could be moved around and these services could be retained at the hospital? Or is there, and people will feel, maybe something happening by stealth?
I think once they realise what has happened, there will be an oh God moment here. They will be saying, what have we done? And I would really impress on them to have a think again, because essentially it is going to, as you quite rightly said, it's going to cause gridlock, further gridlock within the system, not just locally, but in the whole county generally. Because those patients that have to be discharged that normally would go to St. Joseph's, now they'll have to be sent to the other community hospitals, which will have a knock-on effect on all parts of this county. So I'm astounded by this decision.
And of course, there are those in the Finn Valley area that may not have the capacity to travel either to Lifford or Donegal Town.
The actual question would be as well, is it's like before you close down any service, whether it's our argument was always with Lippert Hospital, you can't close a department down unless you can actually replicate that service elsewhere. Is it the case that the services in Lifford and in Donegal Town are going to be able to accept a capacity of 100 referrals a week or not? The answer to that is I would imagine, no. So therefore, you know, it isn't so much even the case of people not being able to travel. It's whether the capacity exists in the other two departments to accept 100 referrals a week. I very much doubt that, because they don't have the personnel. And once again, the infrastructure issue becomes relevant again. So I think, Greg, as I said earlier, I am perplexed.
And it's a lot of people blindsided by this. They are talking of, and it sounds like language into the future, the notifying of all stakeholders of the relocation. GPs not consulted, political representatives not consulted, the physiotherapy staff told at very short notice, patients learning about it from Highland Radio and elsewhere. Why the panic in this decision? Why the short notice? Why make this decision and then start any notification or consultation? It's not even a consultation, even relating the facts as they are.
I just can't answer that question, because I think the answer could not be actually couldn't be broadcast. And I think that the other issue is that I do not think that there have been a cold light of day sitting down and assessing the consequences of this decision and looking at there has to be another way because of the consequences that it's going to have to the county generally.
And just finally, work is ongoing to secure suitable, appropriate accommodation in the Finn Valley area. No time frame on that. And it does seem to indicate, and I don't want to jump to conclusion, but we haven't had the opportunity to interview anyone. It doesn't seem to create a pathway or a timeline for these services ever returning to St. Joseph's Hospital.
The thing is that even if there was, if you think about it logically, even if they transfer the services to another part of the town, that means still that St. Joseph's is still an inappropriate place to transfer people to. It's wearing both hats that I have concerns here. Naturally, I would like the services to retain for my patients that they can get physiotherapy. But if that is located to another location out of St. Joseph's, it means then the people from discharged from Letterkenny to St. Joseph's can't actually avail of that service. So therefore, the issue with St. Joseph's still pertains, that it will be an unsuitable hospital to be used as a step-down facility.
So the ramifications of this, and that's quite stark, the ramifications of this go beyond the black on white on this paper in front of me. This this means that St. Joseph's, even if these services are in the vicinity, no longer is appropriate for non-acute hospital care, step down, etc.
Yeah, I would not be. I have to look after my patients. I would not be happy with my patients being stepped down from Letterkenny to St. Joseph's in the absence of physiotherapy in the actual on site. If that physiotherapy was in the town somewhere, the possibility of that person going to that physiotherapy department is zero. So therefore, that makes that step down process unsafe, and I would not be happy with that.
Very finally, Dr. Dennis McCauley, obviously you're a GP. You know, you've got a profile. You're a member of the GP subcommittee of the IMO. What is your message then this morning, as clear as you can be, to the HSE on this issue?
Realise the consequences of the decision before actually making that decision.
Dr. Dennis McCauley, thank you for your time this morning.
And we welcome into studio Pat Short. Pat, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
It's
thank
great
you.
To have you with us. And we're speaking to you ahead of your gig in Ongreon on Theatre Letterkenny on Saturday, the 2nd of March at 8 p.m. It's you and your daughter, Faye.
Yes.
What do you like working with your daughter? It's an obvious question,
as you can
but
see,
often she's always beside you. So I'm,
she's not. You can see you can't get her up in the morning. Yes.
All kids are the same,
exactly.
Aren't they? But she's not here, so you can speak a bit more freely.
No, it's great. It is. We've been touring now nearly 2 years at this stage since that dreadful COVID we can't talk about. We shouldn't talk about it. We're well and truly over it now. But that's kind of when we started working together, you see, when everything kind of stopped and we were at home. And we've been touring since. And it's great. Well, look, she's very professional, so she treats the job like that. But the dad and daughter relationship creeps in every now and again.
Which is good, though. It's a blessing, isn't it?
It is, you great. Know? I mean, I'm privileged.
So many listening with daughters and sons in Australia and America.
Yeah, yeah, no,
and I mean, it's a torture at times, right? But it's great as well to have the access.
I never said torture, Greg.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about my kids. No, that's not fair. I was talking about mine. So the show's Knuckle Down. It's off the back of another successful show that you did. It must be really pleasing for your work. Well was incredibly well received.
Yeah.
It must be very satisfying because you never know.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you don't. You never know when you start putting material together. But something popped up on the Irish Independent only yesterday. I think it's 18 years since The Breakfast Role was out.
Wow.
And that blew
That's
me
scary.
Away. That's scary. Yeah, I know. That knocked me back. So I'm kind of in this game a while. You know, I'm coming up here with John Kenny back in the days of The Unbelievables and we're touring the country. And to be still knocking it out and having fun and now touring with Faye, I'm very privileged, to be honest with you, to be still selling out the theatres around the country. It's fantastic.
Yeah, indeed. Knuckle Down, tell us about this show that's in Ongreon on Saturday.
I suppose it's a show about myself and Faye.
Sorry, it's Saturday
it's
week.
Saturday week, yeah.
That's my fault, not yours.
No. I suppose it's a show of, I'm known for characters, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of characters in it. Faye does some characters. And we do kind of stand up where we kind of have a hop off each other as well, and some local characters come into it like that people would probably recognise. This builder character I'm doing, which is on, a lot of people might have seen him on social media, and he moans a lot about life, and I think reflects on the way people are thinking of life and in some respects, and he's a total gobshite. Mm-hmm. Rick Nobosa, he talks like things about, for example, one of the things he might say, Michael, is he was very annoyed, like, with his supervisor in the council when he was working there, because his Mrs. Kathleen said to him that there was a wedding on a Saturday, they had to go to Breda Lacumber's wedding, and he needed to get a haircut. She sent him down to get the haircut, and he said, I can't get the haircut, I'm working every day during the week, so how am I going to get the haircut? So he had to go down on Tuesday to get the haircut anyway, and wasn't he coming out of the barber? And the supervisor above in the air was passing in a van to his bottom, so he hauled him in over the coals in the afternoon, and he says, Michael, I seen you coming out of the barber's there and you're getting your hair cut on council time. As Michael said, didn't it grow on council time? He said, it didn't all grow on council time. I didn't get it all cut on either, you know, so that's the type of character Michael is. He'll just talk forever.
But the reason it's funny and relatable is because I think we kind of all know someone.
someone
yes,
or yeah. had conversations in the same kind of space, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's funny, too, in that, you know, character comedy, and a lot of Irish comedians yeah. did it and did it very well. Sort of technology and sort of internationally has caught up to it. I'm not saying we had the patent yeah. on it, but, you know, with the likes of TikTok and or these short reels and what have you, you know, where people are in character, like it's all over the place.
It's
now,
great. So, and yeah. I, you know, it's kind of funny because people say to me, have you got a younger audience now because of TikTok and stuff like that? But everybody's on the phone. It's not just young people. That's what I've found. People of all ages have a phone. And I suppose it's the new medium and it's the new way of reaching out to people. So we got into it more as FFA. It's a different mindset. You got to kind of get yourself into thinking. You know, I'm more used to the traditional type of way of doing videos and clips and putting stuff up and stuff. But then the whole TikTok stuff and everything else, it's much sharper, quicker. Direct. Yeah. You got to get straight to the point and into the gags.
We do a lot of this show online as well. Yes. And what I find is that, you know, you reach different audiences in different spaces. Like, you know, you will get younger people that never listen to Highland, but they will see a clip of a part of the program that goes up. So you're reaching people in. Yeah. Not everyone is a potential audience member, but there is that product awareness out there.
Yeah, and funny enough, radio is still big. It's still huge. You know what I mean? So other mediums have kind of suffered a bit with all the new technology, but I know just from touring around the country and doing radio shows and local radio in particular is bigger than ever, I think, at the moment.
How does the audio, all the audiences around the country are the same, aren't they? Is there a difference between rural and city audiences, Dublin audiences, rest of the country?
No, the whole country's rural.
Yeah, you know, it is true. Dublin's tiny. I laugh at this, what we call cities in this country.
Yeah, and if you go to Dublin, everybody is like, their parents are from the country.
Yeah.
You know, or they go down at weekends and they have a holiday home down the country. So they're well accustomed to the rural type of, you know, and I think with online as well, the whole country's kind of leveled out. When I grew up, for example, you were really a culture. And everyone in Dublin was a bit more sophisticated. Mm-hmm, they got stuff in advance of us. Whereas nowadays with online, everybody, and it's been like that for a long, long time.
Yeah, it kind of levels the playing field.
It does really,
I don't think kids from Donegal are any less cool than kids from Dublin.
Whereas
that could have been when we were in the past. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I started, like, on Late Late Show and stuff like that, my wife's from this neck of the woods and all her family, you know, and some of her relations very up north Donegal weren't aware of us because they didn't have RTE with the hills and everything else.
They were watching ITV or BBC.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
well,
it was coming across from
across
the north.
Across from the north, yeah. So that's all changed as well.
Exactly. And you're also not reliant on any particular outlet to your success.
Yes.
You can market your shows in so many. You're not reliant on a clip. That's great if you can get a slot in the Late Late or some other show, but you're not reliant. You can generate your own publicity and traction.
But you do get the characters are you do notice certain areas. You go over Monaghan, for example, you know, they're quite dark over there. You come up to Donegal, they're cute whores. Like, you know, it's like this morning I said to someone, I was having a coffee and he says, he knew who I was. He said, are you up here often? I said, yeah, my wife's crowd from up around here. And then there's a hush. Who did be now? And the Donegal kicks in, you know. And I, of course, I'd respond with, are you no right here, dear? Surely to God, no. Tell him nothing.
I'm interested in Faye's character, the mother of the child. Again, someone we all know. Isn't a bad word to say about anyone, but...
But, wait till I tell you. And it's a great... It's
I
a
promised pretty, I wouldn't say anything, but...
There's a touch of the Donegal coming out from her mother. But, it's a great character. And I think it's that character. I don't go on too much about that we all see and we've come across outside the school waiting for the kids to be collected. And it's fantastic. She does it's a wonderful character. You'll have to come to the show and see it.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And it's a great night out, isn't it, to go and be able to watch funny stuff on the stage. I know I'm explaining it in the most basic terms, right?
No, but it's very hard, Greg, to describe comedy.
Yeah,
you got to be there.
It's
and
at least
with
faith. But people know your stuff, Pat. Obviously, at the moment, we're seeing that the Irish film industry is in boom, and you've done your fair share of that. Are there more opportunities now? Because you know, so there are opportunities. Yeah,
massive.
Loads of stuff out there.
No, there is. I mean, So, like, when I started working in the film industry, I realize how bloody old I am now.
This is the third reference to your age. Oh,
we'll stop.
Stop it, no, Pat. But
the industry was there, but it was kind of, it was shallow, if you know what I mean. Yep. No, it wasn't much happening, and it was like there was only the odd big film and movie. But then, like, I think Michael D. Higgins did a huge amount for it when he was Minister for Arts and Culture, not as president, well, he always does, but, and he did a massive amount for it with tax incentives, all that kind of stuff. And what has happened is it's built up a huge base of crew. And like when I was starting out, there wasn't, I don't even know if there was a drama school in Ireland. And now you have a half a dozen of them on Bow Street, Grady, and a few more of them. They're in Cork and Galway and everywhere. And it's brilliant. So and also the Dunleary then for training up crew and people like that, and then just the work you get apprenticeship on set.
And I think what's a great thing that's happening too, and we're really working hard on it here in Donegal, and when I say we, I'm doing nothing. It's the royal we,
right? You're talking about
it. Exactly. But it is, you know, there's some amazing talented people that work behind the scenes in film that are having to go to London or elsewhere to ply their trade, and we're getting to a point now whereby we can establish something here that you can realistically live and work and operate at the highest level in your own country. And as I say, hopefully we're leading the way out here in the Northwest, because often when decisions are made, like you referenced Michael D. Higgins there, often we don't see the connection between a small change and then what it leads to.
Yes.
But in this instance, we can kind of...
It takes time.
It's really putting it on its feet, isn't it, the industry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the English film industry came over at the time when Michael D. had it established to see how it was working, and they couldn't get their politicians to kind of trust in what was going on. But it's really, I mean, you can see then the likes of Game of Thrones up the north, and you're talking about Vikings down the south and all the other big projects, Troy Studios near us in Limerick, and stuff that's going on in Galway. And it's happening all over the country. I know people in Kerry that are actively, and every county nearly has a film liaison officer now.
I loved when In the Land of Saints and Sinners came out with Liam Neeson. And much of it was filmed in here. But the commentary, the commentary on from locals was, that's not how you get to Glencolum Hill. It's not a travelogue. You know what I mean? It's like, that's Kilcar in that direction.
I did watch it. What was the name of it? That film I did years ago up in Donegal, Burton Porton up around there, we great crack down. It was actually the follow-up to The Full Monty. And it was known as American Girls in America.
Not Calendar Girls.
No. I'll think of the name of it. This is desperate. I shouldn't know the name of the film I was in. But it was great. God, it was the last of the big, I shouldn't be saying this, the big budget movies, you know what I mean? So we were up here for months.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It was great crack.
The money was chucked at it.
Yeah. And long may those days come back.
Yeah, but I mean, like nowadays, you know, up here, Gabriel Byrne's knocking around the place and Liam Neeson's is there, and it's crazy. It's great. It's fantastic. So another obvious question, but sometimes the obvious questions, the more interesting ones. You do lots of different stuff on your own. You do the film stuff, you do the telly stuff, you do the stage stuff.
Yes.
Is there a hierarchy within that of what you enjoy?
Is the stress of this
ahead of it, or is that you're so long in the game now that you don't get stressed, you just go and enjoy it?
You go and enjoy it, I think. Yeah. The stage stuff is amazing. That's my favourite of all, like what we're going to be doing in Green On. And I'm going to have to get a shameless plug in for two other venues. The Ballard Arts Centre and Ballybuffet were there Friday the 19th
of April. Well, I wasn't told that. That's really significant.
The Abbey Arts Centre on Saturday the 20th. They're brilliant. So they're next month in April. But coming up doing the shows... and travelling with my daughter and having that, and we're in control of it, and you can't beat a live audience in front of you. Now, don't get me wrong, I love doing the films. I just finished one last week, and I did a show I'm very proud of. I'm looking forward to coming out on RT. I think it's due in April. I think it was due to be out before Christmas. They were staggering it because they had a few other shows, but it's a music program myself and Mike Hanran did, and we travelled 20 counties in the country, a song from each county, and we did one in Donegal as well, The name of the artist is, I don't have a, I didn't actually fine. Come to promote it, but it just that you were asking about it. That was lovely because I play music and, and we did Derry, we did Kerry Wexford and that. And it was great. It's a great program because we did kind of songs that were, that you think you know.
Yeah.
And you think you know about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then we got local artists and all young artists to do it. And we kind of accompanied them really. We, it was, it's all about,
as well,
it was all about the artists. Yeah. But there was some funny ones. Like we did The Wild Colonial by, and there's a girl, Jerry Nash, and he was singing on it. And then we get an expert locally, and it was Billy Keane. A lot of people know John B. Keane, Billy's his son. He's a journalist down in Kerry to come and talk to us about it. And of course, everyone knows the song, The Wild Colonial.
Jack Duggan, is it?
Jack Duggan is his name. He hailed
wasn't a wasted childhood.
Yeah, he hailed from in a town called Castlemaine. And down in Castlemaine in Kerry, they have a big statue of a highwayman and all that. And one of the pubs has, this is where he was born. Turns out it's Castlemaine in Australia. That's where the song is about. It has nothing to do with Kerry. But should the Kerry crowd or wasn't the Donegal crowd? They'd throw up a monument quick and have tourists flocking on buses.
Right. So Knuckle Down's in on Green on Theatre on Saturday week, 2nd of March at 8 p.m. Then you're in the Balor and you're in the Abbey, too. Brilliant venues.
Oh, super.
You know, aren't we blessed up here to have the venues that can attract the likes of yourself and other big shows as well? Do you know, because back in the day, you may have felt you had to travel to the other end of the country for them. Now you can justify coming
there's,
up
there's
here
a great
as well,
touring network around the country.
Okay, so that's April, those second two
They're gigs. 19th and 20th of April.
All right, brilliant
dates,
stuff. Yeah. And also keep an eye out for that show coming up on RTE as well. Pat, it's brilliant. Passing our kind regards to Faye. And there's a few tickets available in on Green on the show's Saturday week at 8 p.m. And it's a brilliant show. You know yourself. A lot of you went and seen well. Knuckle Down also getting rave reviews as well. So thank you very much,
Thanks,
Pat.
Greg.
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
Your time. Okay, back with more shortly. As I love Pat Short, says one of our listeners. He has a wonderful laugh and a great sense of humour. Always makes me chuckle. Indeed, he's actually just good fun to be in company of. Hi, Greg. In my opinion, Pat is one of the best artists Ireland has produced. Give us some great laughs and never miss Kilnascunny. That comes in from Danny. The Rosses film that Pat was in 1999 was The Closer You Get. Well done. Brilliant. Thanks so much, listeners, for reminding us and reminding Pat. I want to say a happy birthday to Jade Mackey in Fairgreen Hill in Letterkenny. Jade is 30 today. Lots of love from Donna and Steve. You've got the whole world they want to hear. We don't get around to music much on this show because it's so busy, but I'm sure a DJ will play it a little later on. We just had a quick response from the St. Joseph's Hospital Group. I'm going to try and get to that. It's very brief. It says that they will announce a meeting. Here we are. A spokesperson for Save Our St. Joseph's Action Committee say details of a public meeting on the removal of these services will be announced on Monday. And I think that's a really significant intervention we heard from Dr. Dennis McCauley there. Good morning, Greg. Listening to what's going on up in St. Joseph's, it really shows the relevant authorities in Ireland don't care. Whether it's the council or HSC or any of these authorities, they never communicate with people to inform them of what's ahead. Instead, they announce proposals, etc., and go into hiding then. And this is so disrespectful and frustrating to all the people it will affect. Communication is so important, Greg, apart from Ireland, it appears. I've paid my TV licence for 30 years. I didn't pay it in November. I've now received four letters since November. I will not be paying it, as what RTE are doing is scandalous. I'd sooner go to prison. Wow, strong words. Okay, and what are the nature of those letters? Do they are they threatening in any way, shape or form? We had a very decent physio unit in St. Joseph's. HICWA came and took it away. Now we've nowhere to go. Sometimes people feel HICWA is a mechanism almost for the reduction in services in places. There's a court case at the moment with a lady who's losing money from her carer's allowance. She's looking to get compensation, and the carer's article in the Constitution is what's allowing us to do this. The article protects us, believes a listener. If Shunit Ni Rahali and everyone else made mistakes in RTE, they must own up to their mistakes. They can't just resign and think it will be okay. But that's it, you see. Once you resign from a position, then you're no longer obliged to go to the various committees and what have you. I'm sorry to be jumping between issues, but you've been texting in on so many different things this morning. In relation to physiotherapy department in St. Joseph's, the wing where physiotherapy is at present was refurbished 2 years ago. If it's a fire hazard now, who signed off on the works? I'm not aware of that, but I'm taking the listener there as at their word. Sure, if you vote no, they'll be back again for another vote. I'm not sure what the government is saying in relation to that, but I think Sinn Féin did say they will bring it back before the people. With different wording, they say they're not happy with the wording. This country, from government to health system, RTE and the Football Association of Ireland, couldn't lie in their bed straight with all the controversy surrounding them, from a Highland listener. Let me see. Has anyone looked at the censorship and control of issues RTE had? For instance, RTE TV did not cover the male suicide crisis or parental alienation, even though 97% of Irish councils passed motions on it. Plus, the government researching, consulting and reporting on it last June, they deemed it was not in the public interest. This covert censorship is not only undemocratic, but breaks their own terms of reference. Right, okay. Listen, thank you so much for all of your comments. Monday show's already starting to take a bit of shape, would you believe it or not, because there are issues which and topics which we spoke about this week that will need further examination next week. We do appreciate all of your comments. They're all read, the majority on air. Time sometimes doesn't allow all of them to be read on air, but we really do endeavour to have every point of view represented. You're tuned to the 9 till noon show. And now, coming up after the break, it's time for us to ease a little bit into the weekend. To maybe breathe in through our nose and exhale through our mouth, to let our shoulders drop and relax and just talk a little bit of, I dare say, nonsense. It's not nonsense. We do plan it. But we've loads of guests. We've got live performances coming up for you in the next hour. The Addams Family musical is coming, of course, so you'll get a sample of that and much more besides. So it's Michael and it's Katie, because Fionnuala is off hopefully sunning herself in sunnier climes. So Katie and Michael taking the reins. And as I say, live performances, more conversation on the way.